Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Andrea Bernstein, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC AM and FM. Traffic, waiting in line at the supermarket. Of all the tiny grievances of everyday life, why is it that bad customer service makes our blood boil like none other? From questions about credit card bills to cable service, we've all been through the maddening experience of getting lost in phone trees or being forced to listen to Muzak while holding for what seems like a lifetime. Emily Yellen, author of the new book, Your Call Is, in parentheses, Not That Important to Us, Customer Service and What It Reveals About Our World and Our Lives, is here today to talk about the inner workings of the customer service industry. Emily went into the belly of the beast, talking with corporate policymakers and the people who have to carry out these policies on the phone. Emily Yellen, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
We'll also take your comments and calls. Do you field customer calls as part of a job? Have you ever had a surprisingly awful or pleasant customer service exchange? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And yes, you will be asked to hold for the next available phone operator, or you can leave a comment on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. So, Emily, I just got to say, you must be pretty popular, because when you tell people you're writing this book at parties, everybody must want to tell you their customer service story.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I want to tell you mine. I'm dying to, but maybe a little later in the segment. So,
yeah, I've heard more than I thought I ever would about it.
So after journeying to the ends of the customer service earth, surely you must know the answer to the question on everyone's mind. What is the root cause of bad customer service?
Well, of course, that's why I did the book, to find out myself. I have a couple of answers. I'll try and give you the bottom line to start with, and then we can go from there. I think that it comes down to the way that a company treats its employees, its customer service department, the way it looks at customer service is the way that you are treated by that company, by that customer service agent. And so it's really about how the company views the function of customer service and whether it's a priority or not. And the reasons that it's not, in many cases, have to do with the way customer service has been looked at, you know, up until the last couple of years, which is really as a necessary evil. It's a cost within the company, and it's an afterthought. The best companies now are the ones who are looking at it a little differently.
Now, I actually found myself the other day when I was having a frustrating encounter and, with someone who would just wanted to say, I do apologize, Miss Andrea, but, you know, in effect, you are totally screwed and I won't help you. I found myself wanting to say, you know, I am old enough to remember when people cared about customer service. Now, am I nuts? Was there a day when people did care about customer service?
I think there was a day when customer service was a different thing. And yes, I think that when you have to be face-to-face with someone, when you're in a store or it's in your town and that's a hometown business, I think that there probably was that sense of, I'm doing business with this person. What has happened is, in about the 1980s, we got the 800 numbers. So suddenly it's toll-free, and that combined with PCs on the rise meant that call centers could be created. And if you think about it this way, as of now, Americans make about 43 billion calls to customer service per year.
Holy cow.
It's a lot, and it averages to about 143 calls for every man, woman, and child in the United States. So this is an industry that's having to field a lot of calls, and it's only been around for 30 years or so. So they've made huge mistakes, and they know this. That's been one of the most interesting things, is everybody in customer service knows how much we hate them. They They really do. And the other surprising thing, and again, I am not an apologist for this industry, and this industry cuts across so many other industries, but I was surprised at how many people are really very sophisticated within companies about how to handle customers and, you know, how many people actually get it right. I don't think we notice that because the 1 in 10 calls or so that go so horribly wrong are the ones we remember.
Yeah, I have to say that was one of the things that kind of shocked me.
Yeah.
Is that there is this whole field of company research in which some companies really do try to figure out, not only how to handle the customers and how to sort of train their agents to deal with customers, but sort of, you know, what to do with this information. I mean, I think, you know, one of the points you make in your book is, you know, what an incredible feedback loop this is for companies. They can learn so much if only they were to lend an ear.
Right, and the best companies now are looking at customer service as the new marketing. You know, customer service, there's a company called Zappos.com. It's an online company, started out selling shoes, and now they're selling all sorts of things. And their CEO is quite into the whole ethic of customer service permeating his company. And he says, you know, customer service isn't just a department here. It's in everything we do. And I also went to FedEx, and I hung out at the call center there, and that was really fascinating, hearing people calling from all over the world. And their CEO, Fred Smith, told me customer service has to be baked into the organization. It can't be, you know, sprinkled on top at the end. And so I think it really is a case of these companies that recognize that, you know, most companies spend so much on marketing, and they're begging people to tell them what they think, and they're, you know, paying people to be in focus groups. And suddenly they realize, some companies realize, we have this amazing database of customers calling in every day begging to talk to us and waiting on hold to talk to us. And so the companies that have really looked at that and used it for good, not evil, but good, and recognizing how to respond to customers better, how to make sure that they're providing the information that customers need through whatever channel, the web, you know, mobile phones, all sorts of things. Those are the companies that are really cutting edge in customer service, but also, you know, their balance sheets reflect it. It doing customer service well is an investment.
So that's something that we can tell people next time we're frustrated.
Right.
Exactly. Your unhealthy attitude is a sign of an unhealthy company. My guest is Emily Yellen. She's the author of Your Call Is Not That Important to Us, Customer Service and What It Reveals About Our World and Our Lives. You know, there have been a number of incidents where people have recorded their conversations with customer service agents and put them on the internet, which has turned out to be this very sort of powerful revenge tool for frustrated people on the end of the line. One of the most famous examples, and we actually have a clip of it, is when AOL found itself in the center of unwanted attention about 3 years ago. A man named Vincent Ferrari called them with the seemingly simple request, cancel my account. Instead, the AOL representative tried to argue him out of it for 5 agonizing minutes. Well, we won't play the whole 5 minutes, but here's an excerpt.
I don't know how to make this any clearer, so I'm just going to say it one last time. Cancel the account.
Well, explain to me why.
I'm not explaining anything to you. Cancel the account.
Well, what's the matter, Vince? I mean, I'm just trying to help here.
You're not helping me. You're helping me with the
I am trying to help.
Helping me. Listen, I called to cancel the account. Helping me would be canceling the account. Please help me and cancel my account.
No, I wouldn't, actually.
Cancel
Turn
my account.
Turn off your account.
Cancel
the
account.
Worst thing that...
Cancel the account.
Is your dad there?
Is your dad there? This is a 30-year-old man with his own account.
I was about to say his dad. He's 30 years old and married.
So there's a pattern when people do stuff like this. They put it on the internet and they get all kinds of attention. You talk about the story of the woman in Manassas, Virginia, who, you know, took a hammer to the computer of the phone company there when they didn't respond to her complaints. An elderly woman, and these people become, you know, celebrities because they obviously touch a chord. And then what happens?
Well, what has happened, both of those incidents happened about 2 or 3 years ago, and companies have started to recognize this power. It's really kind of exciting for those of us who want change. They've started to recognize this power, and I will name a company because I spoke to them, and it's Comcast. And they had some very public, the hammer incident was one, incidents that made it onto the internet and became viral and, you know, really put them in a bad light. And they it was a wake-up call, and they realized they had to pay attention to customer service. And their head of customer service said to me, we dropped the ball. We were so busy with acquisitions and growing the company and product development that we ignored customers, because they also had a, you know, cable companies often have a monopoly. So what has happened is...
Ubiquitous cable monopoly. Let me get into... let's make sure we get some callers, because our lines are full. Rob from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Oh, yeah. I just like to add that whenever at the end of the line, they always say, is there anything else I can help you with? So I like to mess with them. I'll say, like, oh, yeah, you know, I can't decide what I have for lunch, or I've been urinating blood. Is there anything? Or my car's making this really
pleasant
fun
of you,
sound.
Rob.
Sometimes I get an answer. Sometimes they laugh or they hang up.
All right. Thanks for your call, Rob. Oh, I was just, we had a customer service agent on the line, and guess what? He hung up.
Oh, my goodness.
But maybe he could call back, because I was just about to go to him. Let's take a call. Emmanuel from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
How are you doing? I actually bought a computer from Dell about a year and a half ago, and I'm running into, like, tons of problems with the computer. So what I actually did was I called Dell, and they transferred me to a guy in India. I waited on hold for about 45 minutes, and then they're telling me to speak to someone in America who's going to expedite my call in an efficient way. I have to pay them about $50.
Emily Yellen, have you heard of that? And by the way, I should say that I think Dell was one of the companies that actually, in your book, you say actually made some improvements.
Well, you know, it's back and forth, but that is a famous situation now, and they've decided that that you have to pay to speak to someone in America. I'll tell you what you could do is there is an online forum for Dell customers that's monitored by Dell employees, and you can go to that. It's called IdeaStorm. It's really more about collaborating with employees and getting suggestions, but through that you can get to employees who are at Dell who are monitoring the internet. So I would say that or Twitter, if you're on Twitter, Twitter about Dell, and they actually pay attention to that.
All right. Thank you for your call, Emmanuel. Let's go to Andrew from Jersey City. Thank you for calling back.
Of course. Of course. I just want to say it's a great topic, and I have, of course, made plenty of calls to customer service lines, and I worked on a customer service line for about 3.5 years in addition to other duties. And I think it's so important for people to realize when they're calling these places a couple of things. One is that it's not personal. You know, if the person on the other end of the line is giving them a hard time or it sounds like they're not being cooperative, they're not doing it to you. I mean, keep in mind that maybe they're having a really crappy day. You know, keep in mind that they are doing the best they can sometimes. And the other thing is to...
Well, Andrew, let me ask you about that, because, I mean, you know, I often wonder when I'm on the phone, it's sort of, you know, and I get this line, I do apologize, which is like, you know, I don't know why they write that into the scripts. It makes me nuts, because it just makes me feel like they're not sorry. So where you work, are you given the sort of latitude to actually express genuine sympathy?
Yeah, actually I am. I mean, because I have been on the other end of the... I mean, if you really want to get into it, I had to go to work one day when my uncle had died the night before. And I still had to deal with people all day telling me that they were absolutely right. And that's the other... That brings me to my other point, is we all, when we make these calls, are so convinced that we're absolutely right. And a lot of the times we are. I think... you know, complaints are very important to make to keep the companies running well according to what their customers say. But just if you go in with the smallest bit of humility, thinking, you know what, maybe there's something that I did wrong that I haven't caught up with, or even if you can't get that thought into your mind, just go in thinking, this is just another person I'm talking to. Yes, I'm frustrated. Yes, this thing isn't working the way I want it to, or I haven't been treated the way I want it to. But you are going to get a much better response if you treat the other person at the end of the line, A, like they're not trying to screw you over, and B, if you treat them like a real person, now I know that can be really hard. Sometimes I have actually had to put the phone down, take a really deep breath, and get back on the phone
now,
with
Andrew,
these people.
Now, Andrew, not to not treat you like a real person, but just
no,
want to get...
No, you got to go and take other calls.
I want to get one more call in. Oh, and we have Diane calling us from San Francisco. Thanks for calling, Diane.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling, actually, I'm a game designer. I'm calling from the Game Developers Workshop, and I think that it actually might be helpful to look at this question in a broader term and something that's actually come clear in designing games. It turns out, I mean, that larger context would be user interface. It turns out that people get not a little angry, incredibly furious if you don't give them something to do in very quickly, or if they feel as though, for example, they're not sure what to do, or if the button they press doesn't react to them. So I wonder, one learns that in game design, and one correspondingly has to design buttons that are meaningful, and that is with icons that make sense. I hope I'm making sense.
I hear what you're saying.
Whole question of customer service is basically about a company's the user interface. A company has to its the interface between the company and the outside.
Right. And Emily Yellen, I mean, and we have to wrap up pretty quickly, but I just wanted to ask about that. The point that Diane makes, which is that when you call a customer service agent and all they say is I do apologize, but you don't feel like there's any action, just sort of, builds the frustration. And did you find any examples where, sort of companies were sort of realizing that, just sort of saying, I apologize and then hanging up is the wrong approach?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things about this. All of those calls were great, and they're all things that I address in the book. But, yeah, I think the caller's point that design is extremely important. I think that one of the more sophisticated that customer service gets, the more that becomes an issue. And one of the places I went was the people who designed those voice response systems. And they talk a lot about the machine saying to you, instead of just saying, I didn't understand five times, they say something like, I still didn't understand, which makes you at least understand that they know that they've gotten it wrong twice. And then I think there's something that is now called customer experience. It's the new trend in customer service. So it's looking at the customer's experience from the minute you hear about the company, which is advertising, to the first time you visit the company, all the way through, and having that all be the customer service experience instead of just after you've bought something and you have a problem. So I think that's really important. And then the other caller who talked about the humanity of the people on the other end of the line, I really got into that. I went all overseas to call centers. I met call center employees. And one
including in a freak coincidence, right? That
yes,
was the friend
was
of your niece. The
right.
guy you spoke to that gave you the free toner.
Exactly.
We have
in Argentina. We
have a comment on our comments page from Robert from New York City. He said, when I did customer service for then NYTEL, the company, then AT&T, put lots of money and invested lots of training to be sure customer service was number one. There were even paid observers who observed calls as well as supervisors observing online, and service reps taken to task and retrained if they got into bad habits. It was for the sake of the company as well as the customer. First and foremost, we were told that most customers are calling in with a legitimate complaint, and they all must be treated that way and listened to. And what that comment makes me wonder is, I just feel like, my sense is it's just getting worse and worse. Do you think there's any reason for optimism, or do you think that we should resign ourselves to frustration?
No, there is reason for optimism. I mean, we've all experienced the bad stuff, and we know about it, we know what it is, but it is changing. And the idea that training and who you hire and how you support those employees is the way to go with customer service, that's who you blame. If you're having a bad experience with an individual agent, it's because that agent either isn't supported by their company or given the training or the authority to do what you need, or they're in a situation where they are also being treated badly and maybe they're taking it out on you. But whatever, I think the buck stops at the CEO, not at the customer service.
Well, when you can, as you cannot yet with cable monopolies, but I guess when you can threaten to take your business elsewhere. Your Call Is Not That Important to Us is the name of the book. It's by Emily Yellen. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you. It was great.